Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
So here we go, 117-115. Warriors up two, 2.4 to go. You would expect LeBron James to throw it hard at the rim to try to get Davis or James coming down the lane. He's going to barrel to that rim. Free throw is up, and it's high, it bounces, rebound loose, knocked away. James gets it, the shot's up, no good, the ball game's over. Oh, man. Oh, man. Wow. What a finish.
What a finish, and what a thriller inside Chase Center tonight. LeBron James and the Lakers in town, and a whole lot of drama down the stretch as the Warriors pull out a 117-115 victory over the Lakers. John Dickinson with you here inside Chase Center for the next hour. 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. 888-957-9570. You can shoot me a text on the Comcast Business text line. You can also give us a call at that same number, 888-957-9570. A lot to react to coming off of this one. A ball game where I think overall the Warriors didn't play great basketball. I think the Lakers, if you look at their side of things, would probably tell you that's one of the better games that they've played over the course of the last month, let alone this season. Warriors, not so much. Some defensive slippage, I thought, after the first quarter especially. The Lakers kind of having their way for stretches of the game, at, you know, getting to the free throw line, getting to the basket, but the Warriors matched the physicality of the Lakers throughout the course of this game and you know, wound up battling with them in terms of the boards, out-rebounding the Lakers 41-36. But all in all, two storylines. The headline number one from this one is Klay Thompson going off in the fourth quarter to the tune of 16 points, 6 of 10 shooting. His best game and best quarter since his return back on January the 9th, and the Warriors needed every bit of it down the stretch in this one as they found themselves down by 6 at 101-95 midway through the fourth quarter, and Klay Thompson immediately he gets an and one, and then there's a technical foul on Frank Vogel. Klay Thompson ties the game at 103. He had 8 in the quarter at that point, but he was only halfway done. A huge three-pointer to give the Warriors a one-point lead, and the Warriors go on to win it 117-115. The other headline coming off of this one was Jonathan Kuminga, and you're not going to want to miss what Steve Kerr had to say about Jonathan Kuminga following this one. He gets the start tonight. Little bit of a surprise coming into this one that he got the start. Played 25 minutes. I would have thought with Otto Porter back and in the fold that he would have got the nod. But Steve Kerr had mentioned before the game that he wanted to give Jonathan Kuminga the start because it helped with Otto Porter's minutes. Porter on a minutes restriction has to stay right around the 20-minute mark. He ended up finishing the game and ended up just a tick under 24 minutes. But he also threw Kuminga in there and gave him a, all right, you got LeBron, kind of a welcome to the NBA moment. And Jonathan Kuminga was tremendous in the first three quarters, especially picked up his fifth foul in the fourth quarter, right around the seven-minute mark, and Otto Porter wound up coming in, and Otto Porter Jr. finished the game with Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, Steph Curry, and eventually Klay Thompson, with the way the Warriors' rotation is at this point. It got to that point, but it wasn't until the 440 mark when Steph Curry wound up back in the ball game. But just an electrifying fourth quarter for Klay Thompson, and I'm back type of a fourth quarter for Klay Thompson, and also a I think an arrival kind of a moment, an arrival kind of a night for Jonathan Kuminga as he goes toe-to-toe with LeBron James and took his lumps some of the time, but also had an impact. And we talked about it on Warriors Live before the game. This is the kind of bright lights, ABC, Saturday Night Showcase, national audience, going up against LeBron James for the first time in your career. That is the kind of game that Jonathan Kuminga has really brought it in. He's played his better games against some of the better opponents and in some of the games that are more high profile. And that's exactly what you want if you're the Golden State Warriors, in a youngster that can run a little brash and at times I think maybe overconfident or acting as if and playing as if he believes he's arrived. Like, but tonight's a night where you love that and you want that and you need that. And he's played his way, I think, into, at least continues to play his way into the playoff rotation for the Golden State Warriors. You do what he did against the Lakers and against LeBron through big time stretches, and it answers the question as to, well, why did Steve Kerr start him over Otto Porter? Forget about the whole minutes restriction thing. He gave Kuminga the run because he wanted to get him the experience and wanted to see how he would handle himself, and he did, to the tune of 7 of 8 in the first half, and everything was at the rim. Three dunks, winds up with 18 points, 9 boards, and just was running the floor and aggressive and just a super, super impressive performance for Jonathan Kuminga in this one. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Thought the Warriors caught a couple of breaks. There was a Steph Curry pass that got deflected that wound up in the arms of Klay Thompson, who knocked down a big three right when the Warriors needed it to land in his arms and everything. You know, the game just kind of found Klay Thompson in some of the big moments. Jordan Poole had a bad miss on a forced three that went off the opposite side of the backboard, on the opposite side of where Poole shot it from, and the ball went right to Otto Porter. Johnny on the spot, he kicks it out to Klay for a three. That was a couple of big Klay buckets on some fortuitous bounces, but I really like the way the Warriors matched the physicality of the Lakers and just grinded out a win against this team. A lot of fouls, maybe too many fouls at times. The Warriors did botch trying to foul against LeBron James in the final seconds there, up 3, won a foul, put him on the line for 2. I know many disagreed with that call. I thought in real time that Steph Curry's foul was before the LeBron James shot. We'll hear from Steve Kerr on that. He'll give his thoughts on it, but I thought the Warriors had opportunities to foul well before it even got to that point. And from my point of view, it is often, and I always cite Rick Adelman. Back in my younger days coming up in the game, I covered, you know, Rick Adelman toward the end of his stint with Sacramento, and that was a question that would come up, and he would always say it's a lot easier said than done to foul in those situations. You have to practice it, trust your team in doing it, and it's easy to just say foul when you're up three. It's a lot harder in a game situation where everything is fluid to just do it without making a mistake or without missing an opportunity when it's right there in front of you to maybe foul, because you're worried about a three, you're worried about an angle, and then inadvertently fouling at the wrong time, and you wind up putting somebody on the line in the position that LeBron was put on the line. However, LeBron goes to the free throw line having to make three, and he misses the first one. So at that point, the Warriors were in great shape. He knocked down the second one, and we play the final call as LeBron went high. He didn't go for the front rim miss. He didn't go for the hard miss off the back iron. He went for the high arcing back iron miss, and Otto Porter and others in there mixing it up, knocking the ball around. It was like a hockey scrum in front of the net, trying to prevent a goal. With the extra attacker in the game, and the team trying to score. Great job by the Warriors there, and they wind up getting the win in this one, 117-115. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's get Eric and Milbrae in here to get us started tonight on Warriors wrap up. What a night for the Warriors, Eric. What a ball game, man. Big-time performances from not only Klay Thompson, but Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, hell of a game tonight. Warriors were reeling. They really need this game. It looked like Lakers were going to take momentum. Luckily, Klay got really hot there in the end. The Warriors really controlled this game and really should have won by double digits, but let it get away from them, and it looked like it was going to be a repeat of that Knicks game, but luckily Klay came to the rescue. Just great to see him really get going there, and Curry as well, even though his shot was kind of off. But all in all, it wasn't a pretty win. It was a hell of a game, but the Warriors really needed this against a really struggling Laker team. You didn't want to come off three straight losses and two of them at home to really two struggling teams in the Knicks and now the Lakers as well. So they'll take this. They got two games going to the break. You want to finish strong. I don't think they're going to catch they're not going to catch the Suns at this point. The Suns are just rolling everybody right now. But you want to stay in that 2 seed because Memphis right now is right on your tail. You don't want to drop to the 3 seed. So hopefully you got the Clippers tomorrow night, which you should win. But the Clippers are pesky, even without George and Kawhi. And then Nuggets are a pretty good team. So you got two tough tests. But overall, one last thing. I don't think it's too hard to foul when you shoot. The thing is, when they inbound the ball, you bear hug the guy so he doesn't even get a shot off. That's the best way to do it. I don't know why I see so many times these pro ball players, they just want to let the guy catch the ball and then let him shoot and then try to foul him. The best way to do it is as soon as LeBron gets the ball, bear hug him. Don't even let him get the shot off. What is your thoughts in terms of teaching that technique instead of trying to just foul the guy when he catches the ball and he can lure you into a foul like LeBron did tonight? And luckily, he's not a good free throw shooter, so that was the right pass there. I'll take your thoughts. Great win tonight and hell of a game.
Yeah, appreciate it, Eric. I think in that situation, you wanted to maybe try and get it under 7 seconds. For some coaches, is still a little early to do it immediately because you have the potential to give another opportunity or another possession. Maybe you get in a foul game and then you make two and then the opponent, you go down and miss one, and all of a sudden now it's a 2-point game, right? It goes from a 3-point game to a 1-point game. You make one of two, now it's a 2-point game, and there's still time on the clock where you can run it up with 4 or 5 seconds at that point to be able to get a layup. I thought Gary Payton had an opportunity to put the foul on, very quickly, and even Steph, I thought, had an opportunity. Although again, in real time, and I know there's been some differing opinions about the shooting motion, and you could make a case by rule that was in the shooting motion, and so LeBron gets 3 free throws. I thought that Curry got the foul before LeBron went up. But as Rasheed Wallace so famously said, ball don't lie, I guess, on a night like tonight, right? LeBron missed the free throw. The Lakers missed a lot of free throws. I think they're the second worst free throw shooting team in the league, 22 of 33. And on a night where you're going up against that team, You know, the Warriors only made 12 three-pointers tonight. For a good chunk of the game, the Lakers had actually hit more threes. And one of the notes that I jotted down here at the end of the third quarter was the fact that the Warriors had a plus 8 in terms of points at the free throw line at the end of the third quarter. The Lakers had made three more three-pointers than the Warriors at that point in time. In the game, the Lakers didn't make a three in the fourth quarter, and the Warriors wound up making four. The Warriors were 4 of 10 in the fourth quarter from three. The Lakers were 0 of 5 in the fourth quarter from three. And the gap did get closed in terms of the free throw disparity. Both teams wound up, the Warriors with 44, the Lakers with 33, but the Warriors made 25, and that, along with the one more three-pointer that they made, proved to be the difference. But in reality, in totality, the difference was Klay Thompson. And I'm back kind of a game. Game six, Klay. You know, Saturday night against the Lakers, showcase game, Klay, whatever you want to call it. This was the regular season version of what a game six Klay would look like, I think, tonight. And he just continues to progress. And his ability to go off in the fashion that he did in the fourth quarter tonight, or in any quarter tonight, I think really puts it really gives the Warriors another element. You know, it's another type of a way that they can beat their opponent, even though they're not maybe playing to the fullest of their capabilities on a given night. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. We got your shot of the game coming up, more phone calls, some text messages to get to as well, but let's hear from the head coach here down in the Bill King interview room following this one.
What did you think of Klay Thompson's fourth quarter?
Phenomenal. Just took over the game at a time when we desperately needed him. You know, with our offense kind of struggling to find a groove, and he got hot and took over the game.
Steve, congratulations on being named one of the 15 coaches of the greatest coaches of all time. That's way better than California Sports Writer of the Year.
Way better than what?
California Sports Writer of the Year. It's like way, way up there. I was curious. You took Klay out, and he was right, I feel like, at that cusp of the 30 minutes, maybe it was like 31, and then he comes back in shortly after that. How tough was that decision, and what went behind that that moment there?
It wasn't a tough decision because we're really committed to keeping him at that 30-minute mark while he's coming back. You know, big picture in mind, we know we need him for the long haul. So we were going to take him out, and, you know, Mike Brown has his rotation mapped out pretty cleanly, and it all worked out well, obviously. But it's been tough. It's great that he's now at the 30-minute mark. It allows us to get to more combinations. But you know, it hasn't been easy trying to figure out you know, when to play him and where, as we've led up to this point. But now we're getting to a point where it's a little bit easier.
Does the offense just flow to Klay when he's like that? Or are you calling stuff to get him shots at any point?
It's more just Klay himself. You know, we might have had a call or two out of the timeouts for him, but for the most part, it's just Klay finding his groove, and, you know, guys doing a good job of getting him the ball.
Is there a point when you sense the explosion is coming? Like, in other words, three shots in a row or something. Is there a point when you say, okay, look out, here we go?
Yeah. I mean, you can probably feel it too. You know, we've been around Klay for so long. I don't know if it's, you know, two in a row, three in a row, but he just has a look on his face, a bounce in his step, and you can feel it coming.
Kind of along those lines. I mean, you were pretty, you explained very well that the feeling when he scored that 37 in the quarter. Can you just describe sort of the emotion in the building and on the bench when he does get in that kind of zone?
Yeah, it's pretty special because the crowd has seen it so many times, and, you know, for it to happen now after that 2.5-year layoff, you know, as much as everyone loved Klay back then, they love him even more now because they know what he's been through. So to see him ignite and to see the crowd getting so into it, his teammates. Clay is he's special. It goes beyond making shots. He brings an electricity to the building that's it's hard to quantify.
What'd you think of coming in tonight? Obviously, he's out there guarding LeBron most of the time, and fouls probably are going to be natural at some point. But what did you think of he scores 16 points, he gets 9 rebounds. And did you take him out strictly and keep him out strictly because of the foul trouble, or were there strategic reasons to keep him out there in the fourth quarter?
I took him out because of the foul trouble. And when LeBron went off the floor, that we decided to take Jonathan out because he was the primary defender on him. And we didn't want him to pick up his sixth before LeBron came back. But by the time LeBron came back, we had committed to putting that small lineup back in. And I just decided to go with all of our shooters, with Jordan and Otto out there with Wiggs and Steph and Clay. So I felt bad. I mean, Jonathan was our best player for the first three quarters, and I really wanted to get him back in the game. But it was just kind of the way the game shook out and the way our small lineup played those last 5 minutes. I just rolled with that group.
And obviously when you start him, you know he's going up against LeBron. I mean, that's just the way that matchup works. Did you see that he rose to the moment knowing how important that assignment was?
He definitely rose to the moment. But the plan was let's get him experience now. You know, let's put him on LeBron now because he's going to have to guard LeBron and plenty of other guys in the playoffs who are, you know, really, really tough, tough jobs, you know, tough covers. So we're just trying to get him all the experience he can get right now. And it's he's handling it beyond anything I could have expected even a couple of weeks ago. So his rise this last month has just been brilliant.
So just the follow-up is, I guess, knowing you reserve the judgment, the right to change your mind, he's in the playoff rotation as of now?
I reserve the right to determine the playoff rotation when the playoffs begin. But I would expect him to be a part of it, yeah.
Steve, can I just build a little bit on what Ron asked in terms of reaction? Clay really kind of lit up the crowd there in the fourth quarter. Is that the loudest you've heard, Chase? Any memories of Oracle? It seems like this crowd is starting to grow in its voice.
Chase has been pretty loud this year. We've had a lot of big games, and you know, Clay's return against Cleveland, it was really loud. He had a game a couple weeks ago here where he caught fire in the first quarter and made 7 straight shots, and the place was going crazy. So Chase is developing its own identity, and it's up to us to put on a good performance to bring the most out of the crowd. But I think the building keeps noise in really well. It's much more intimate than a lot of the new arenas around the league. And it feels great playing out there.
I thought this was as excited a crowd once the game got going, honestly, as there have been all year. Not an overwhelming amount of Laker fans, but enough to where you could hear them a little bit, and then the Warrior fans obviously getting excited to be going against LeBron and be going against the Lakers and their fans that had come into Chase. Really, really, really strong atmosphere tonight in this building, and you heard it from Steve Kerr. Jonathan Kuminga in the playoff rotation, best player on the floor for the Warriors tonight through three quarters. And he's matching him up with LeBron, not putting him back in the game, at least initially, because LeBron had been out of the game after he picked up the 5 fouls. And then Otto Porter, a couple of subtle plays he got rolling with the shooting there, the shooters, and wound up unable to finish the game, but he had a tremendous impact on this one, a big reason why the Warriors were able to win. Let's get to Galileo in Fremont, 888-957-9570, the phone number. Galileo, thanks for calling in tonight here on Warriors Wrap-Up. What you got?
Thank you so much for having me. Special shout-out to Kuminga. He balled. He tried his best to guard LeBron. And also, Wiggins had 3 memorable plays. When he blocked LeBron's layup, when he got a rebound on a down-the-stretch AD free throw miss, and when Wiggins hit the three to set up Clay going bonkers and cut the lead from 6-3. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And, yeah, Wiggins has been just right there. Yeah, three off the dribble. Westbrook had hit Anthony Davis after Clay had tied the game. Westbrook hits Anthony Davis. It's 111-109 Lakers. And then Wiggins hit that three off the dribble. Warriors go right back up one. And then Austin Reeves was able to put the Laker. Austin Reeves played really well tonight. He was cooking the Warriors at different points in this ball game. Reeves put the Lakers up after Poole had fouled Reeves, and so he knocked down a couple of free throws with just under 2 minutes to go. And then that's when Poole had the bad miss from three deep, but the ball went to Porter. Porter kicks it out to Clay, and Clay winds up putting that one in, and the Warriors end up having the lead, and they wind up having the lead that they would not relinquish in this one. 117-115, the final. 888-957-9570. We'll come back. We'll hear from Jonathan Kuminga. We've also got some text messages to get to, and your shot of the game as well. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. Curry stops, backs up, pass batted down, goes right to Klay Thompson for a three, look, and it's good!
All right. Just do it that way.
Klay Thompson with a headband. He's a pinball wizard.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back inside Chase Center, John Dickinson, 888-957-9570. One of the two plays that I had jotted down as fortuitous. Ball finds Clay off of what could have been a turnover. He knocks down a three, and then we'll get to the other play here coming up in this segment, as it will be our shot of the game. We'll get to that later. We're going to hear from Jonathan Kuminga momentarily and Clay Thompson as well before we get out of here, keeping it rolling until 10 o'clock. Still have some text messages to get to, Comcast Business text line. But tonight is the kind of game, and I want to get your thoughts on this on the phones or on the text. Tonight's the kind of game where if you're a fan, it makes you want to play the Lakers because there's just more juice when LeBron's in the building. And the Warrior-fan rivalry, the Steph-LeBron rivalry, the Warriors and the Lakers have not played a meaningful playoff series in, I mean, how long? I mean, 1987 was the last time, right? We're talking about a playoff series between those two. They had the play-in last year, but neither team was going to be eliminated if they had lost that game, although the Lakers did get the better of the Warriors. It's the kind of game where the joy and the edge inside Chase Center for the Warriors to be able to win that game in the fashion that they did and have LeBron miss the free throw and to be able to cheer the Warriors beating LeBron. You could just feel it. You could just feel Warriors fans eating it up, loving it, and it was awesome. And, just the energy in the building. Lakers have been terrible. They've stunk this year. Like, let's just be honest. They have stunk this year. They brought it tonight. For them, they brought it tonight. Warriors, I thought, brought it tonight, but didn't play well. Some defensive lapses. Steve Kerr mentioned a lot of that. They didn't play well, but they battled. They grinded. They matched the physicality. They out-rebounded the Lakers. Kuminga, we talked about him going up against LeBron. But it's the kind of game that makes you want to play the Lakers if you're a fan in the first round of the playoffs. But it's also the kind of game that makes you think you don't want to play the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs, if you get what I'm saying. And what I'm saying on the back end of that is that the Warriors would win that series, and they might even win it in five games, but it would be a hard-fought five games. And if assuming Anthony Davis is healthy and LeBron is healthy, and let's just say they've got the roster tonight. You know, and look, Westbrook won't play as well as he played tonight. 7 of 13, under control, 19 points, did the other things that he does. Still fell asleep on a couple of plays that allowed the Warriors to get some easy baskets. But you're always going to have, you know, one turnover for Westbrook in this game. I mean, Westbrook's going to play a lot worse, and the Warriors, of course, are going to have Draymond Green back in the fold at some point, which helps to make Westbrook and others a lot worse. So Warriors play the Lakers. Warriors are winning that series in five games. I would say probably six tops. But there would be no upside for the Warriors, honestly, in that series. And in essence, it would almost feel like a little bit of a free shot for the Lakers, right? Awful season if they were able to get to seven, and then it's LeBron essentially getting a free shot to take out Steph and to take out the Warriors with not much else doing in what has just been an ugly, ugly season for them top to bottom. And LeBron would bring it for five or six games, and Anthony Davis would bring it for five or six games. And again, it's not that the Warriors wouldn't win, but they would pay a price even in winning, and that price could go on to have a cumulative effect in, you know, it's also just a drain. Like, that series would be a heavy media series. Every single game would be in a prime slot, and it would be a lot for a first round series. So on the one hand, I mean, sign me up for all of it, right? Bright light series. I'm all in for all of that, and traveling to L.A. and back up here and doing the pre- and post-game shows and going on shows and all of that. Like, I'm all for covering a series like that. I would love it. From a selfish point of view, it'd be great. From a fan point of view, it'd be fun to vanquish LeBron and the Lakers again. But I think from the toll of, you know, the cumulative, boy, you play the Lakers and they lean on you for five, six games, and you got to get, you get LeBron out. Maybe you're playing Memphis in the second round now because you're the two seed as opposed to the one seed, and then Phoenix is waiting for you. And then if you get through that, like, that is a gauntlet. You get through that, and then the Bucks are waiting for you. Or a new look, Philadelphia team's waiting for you. Or Miami is waiting for you, and they're going to grind you down. You know, similarly to how the Lakers attempt to kind of grind you down. So it just left me thinking with a number of different angles coming off of this one, where everything about tonight's game is exactly why you'd want to play the Lakers if you're the Warriors and if you're a Warriors fan, but also why, you know what, give me the Pelicans, give me whoever, give me. Minnesota and their inexperienced, young, you know, playoff team that going up against the three, maybe even four future Hall of Famers and a team kind of on a mission. You know, give me that. give me that. As far as a first round matchup and a little bit of a breather and then moving on to the next, because I think the gauntlet for the Warriors is going to be there in the final three rounds no matter what. So a fourth round of that and staying healthy through all of it while rewarding, and it would give a lot of smack talk for Warrior fans to be able to run. And it would be, 35 years since there had been a series between those two franchises in Northern California and Southern California. Right? It's got to be in another way. It's got to be the way it goes down, right? Because the Dodgers and the Giants played right in October, or the 49ers and Rams played in the NFC Championship game a couple of weeks ago, and now the Warriors and the Lakers play in the first round of the playoffs. Boy, LA got the better of the first two. I don't think LA would get the better of that one, but again, I think it would. I think it would be a price to pay there. 888-957-9570. Do you want them, or would you not want the cumulative of, even if you win it, you'd have to pay the price a little bit moving forward? Let's get Drew in Oakland here, and then we'll hear from Jonathan Kuminga. What's going on, Drew? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, JD, great win tonight, by the way. And I'm just agreeing with you that, you know, if you get if you get the Lakers in the first round, that's just a tough straw to pull in the first round. It's a grinding series. If you're playing the Lakers, you know, as a Warriors fan, and you want them for all the marbles to get to the finals, not in the first round where they're just going to beat up on each other and then you go limping into the second round. You kind of want to lay low in the first. But, hey, what do you think? I mean, Klay came through in the clutch, but I'm thinking that whole fourth quarter is – this is exactly the reason why they need to get somebody in the buyout, like a body, a banger in there to get these rebounds that we are coming up short. I mean, it was a great win, and you know, Klay came through there, and it worked out for us with the missed free throw. But I'm thinking the whole time we need to have someone in clutch time to you know, help seal this away, at least with Draymond not being here, because it's just we're getting outsized and outmanned. Thanks, JD. I appreciate it, and have a good weekend.
Well, I think tonight in some ways is the template. Right? The Warriors out-rebounded the Lakers in a game like tonight. And there were times where they looked small tonight, just like there were times in the game against the Knicks, just like there were times in the game in Salt Lake City. But I don't know who the big would have been that would have been playing in crunch. Like if Marc Gasol was magically on the Warriors team tonight, would he have been playing down the stretch? I don't know that he would have, and they went small. I mean, it looked like Kevon Looney was going to finish the game. I thought Kuminga was going to finish the game because he had played so well, and Steve Kerr said as much. But then he went to Otto Porter, and he liked going small. The Warriors like going small at the end of the game, and they've got a bunch of different ways they can do it, too. Whether it's Porter, as they did tonight, that's kind of a new one. They could put Jordan Poole out there with Wiggins and with Steph and Klay and Draymond. When Draymond's back, he's going to be out there. So I don't think it would be a big and Draymond and Wiggins and Steph and Klay. I just don't think they would go that route. So I hear it. I feel it. I understand it. And maybe there would have been a couple of points in this game where you'd like to have another big to lean on Anthony Davis for a couple of minutes or clog the paint for a couple of minutes. But I think we're talking more earlier in the game than later in the game. Let's 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We got some Jonathan Kuminga sound coming your way in just a moment. We'll also hear from Klay Thompson as well here as the Warriors beat the Lakers 117-115. Warriors get the win in this one. So Golden State now, they improve on the season to 42-15. 42-15 for the Warriors now as you look at this thing, and the Warriors now 25 games to go, two more to go before the All-Star break. All right, Priest is next. Hey, Priest, how are you, my man?
All right, how you doing? I've been
good.
Watching the last three games. To me, these games are screaming James Wiseman to me. I don't know what you guys are seeing, but to me, I don't know how. Look at the difference that an athletic player like Kuminga makes. Look how big of a difference that makes. Now, put him in a 7'1" body. These games are screaming for James Wiseman to me. And I understand, you know, that Draymond is the fulcrum for the offense and the defense. But in terms of going up against these teams, you need an athletic big who can get rebounds, score. I mean, Kuminga is basically scoring on dunks in the dunk
right
position. At Wiseman, with his athleticism, a 7-foot kid at that, with that kind of athleticism. I mean, Looney is fine, man. He's a soldier. He's a horse. But he's a plow horse. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you've got to have a guy like Wiseman if you're going to go through these grueling playoffs when it's basically half-court basketball. You got to get some easy buckets. That's what Wiseman does for you.
Thanks, Priest. Appreciate the call. I think Kuminga at this point does it better. And I think the question you have to ask yourself is because you're right, Priest, as far as the like Wiseman is the prototype, right? He his body type, his athleticism, no question. He needs to play like Kuminga in a way, like get his buckets the same way. It was 7 for 8, 3 dunks, everything was at the rim. I tweeted out the shot chart for Kuminga in the first half. Can Wiseman get himself to a point where he can do that this season? That's the question. Because if he can, he'll play. If he can't, he won't. But I also think he may find himself competing for minutes with Kuminga, who actually plays that role better at this stage, even at a younger age. Because you have to ask, you know who's going to be on the floor, Priest. You know Steph's on the floor. You know Clay's on the floor. You know Wiggins is on the floor. You know Draymond is on the floor. So who is the fifth? Is it Iguodala? Maybe, maybe not. If he's healthy, if he's not healthy. Is it Poole? If Poole's having an off night or a hot night, you want to go that route? You can go that route. Is it another big? Typically, it's not another big. Could it be Kuminga? I think it could be Kuminga at times if he's going to continue to play the way that he played. All right, speaking of Jonathan Kuminga, let's hear a little bit from Kuminga. And you're not going to want to miss what he had to say about LeBron James' physicality. Listen for it here. Here's a couple of minutes of Jonathan Kuminga following the big win.
When you start against the Lakers and know that you've got LeBron James as your assignment, what's the thought process and how did you think you did?
I was just excited. Play against the Lakers. Growing up, I used to watch them because of Kobe. And then growing up, I actually, like, everybody watched LeBron growing up. So going there, playing against him, it was super cool.
How'd you think you did?
It did okay.
Have you ever played against someone as strong and talented as he has? I mean, there aren't that many of those guys on this earth.
I'll say he's super talented. I'll say Julius Randle kind of physical, way more physical than LeBron. But LeBron is just super talented. His pass accuracy is high level. Like, he sees the floor really good.
Is this something you enjoyed, or was this like a job to you today?
I mean, I enjoy playing basketball. I love it. And just playing against people like that, the day they retire, they're not gonna be there. So just picking up a little things that they're doing on the floor and maybe learn from that.
We can all see how many minutes you're playing more and more. Steve Kerr just said there's a good chance you're in the playoff rotation. Do you feel this coming? Do you feel this like this is where they're setting you up to take off?
I feel like this is a preparation because for sure I know we're gonna be in the playoff and just playing hard every single day, picking up every little detail. It's just a good preparation for the playoff and just learning and stay consistent.
You had 9 rebounds tonight. Can you pinpoint what helped you be really successful on the glass?
Just find your man. Find any man that's open, especially whenever they're shooting. And I watched a couple of my films before. There were some times I wasn't boxing out. So I just picked my man and just box out, and the ball gonna fall right away next to me. So just things that I go back on more, me and my coaches, and watch films, and just learn from there and just come out here and execute.
Jonathan, what did you think of your first Clay explosion experience? What did you think of your first time seeing Clay go off in person like that, having a big performance like that?
I mean, it's super exciting. Just watching him going crazy. And on top of that, he's not going, it's normal. Like, it's a normal thing to him, just the way he's scoring. Because most of the people on the clutch time like that, whenever they shoot a 3 and make it, they go crazy. They just calm and just, I mean, it's super fantastic to just watch him do that.
All right, so Jonathan Kuminga there following this Warriors win. And, Julius Randle, according to Kuminga, way more physical than LeBron. Way more physical than LeBron. I hope LeBron doesn't get the wind of that one. That might be a little, the youngster may have slipped up a little bit on that one. But no, Randle does do it in a different way than LeBron James, all kidding aside. But Jonathan Kuminga coming into his own again, accepting the challenge and really playing terrific basketball tonight for the Warriors and earning his way into that postseason rotation. Let's get to our shot of the game.
Stephen Curry gets it across with 2 seconds to spare. Gets a screen. Curry step back. Now feeds Poole. Poole fades to his left. Takes the three. It's a bad shot. Rebound goes to Porter. Out to Clay for three. Got another one! He's Clay Thompson! And the rest of us are just watching his magic. It's 115 to 113. The Warriors back up by 2 points. Warriors back up two. It was, 115 to 113 at that point in the second of a fortuitous bounce for the Warriors there as the Warriors wind up winning this one by the final of 117 to 115. Jordan Poole, bad shot. Otto Porter, Johnny on the spot. And he's able to get it out to Klay Thompson. And Klay Thompson, just a fourth quarter full of big shots from him and a fourth quarter full of big shots for the Warriors, and they needed every one of them. That's the shot of the game presented by the County of Santa Clara. Shot of the game presented by the County of Santa Clara. Book a COVID-19 booster shot now at SCCFreeVax.org or call 211. Shot of the game presented by the County of Santa Clara. It's Klay Thompson tonight putting the Warriors up two, and that's a lead that the Warriors would not relinquish. Final couple of minutes here. John Dickinson inside Chase Center. Without further ado, let's go ahead and hear from Klay Thompson following this one, an I'm back kind of performance for Klay, 16 in the fourth quarter, and he met with the media downstairs here at Chase Center.
Could you feel that fourth quarter coming, Klay? Did you sense something like that was in you?
I know it's always in me, but I mean, these things just happen naturally. I can't, if I could plan to do that every fourth quarter, I would, but it's just not the game of ball. It's just a flowy game that great things happen when with time.
Klay, you talked about wanting to be that player you was before you left. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to be able, I know you knew you could do it, but you just did it. What does it mean to you to come this far?
It's really inspiring for myself. There are so many long days in this building, so many long days doing the most tedious of things, and some I wasn't used to prior because of my ability to play nightly. So now to be able to do that, I mean, I'm just going to, inspires me to keep going. I mean, I'm not satisfied, and not going to lie, I felt really freaking good, though.
Klay, you look a lot looser on the court, and I think during that fourth quarter, you let out a shimmy. Like, where did that come from? What was that?
I've seen Steph do it for so many years. I mean, try to shake the misses out or something. I don't know. It felt great, though. Felt great.
Do you feel looser now post-injury, though? Is that something you feel? Because it does seem like you are, you know,
I mean, I feel looser than I did the first five games. That was a very big adjustment period for me. And now to be back shooting with no hesitation and cutting and playing real basketball, I mean, it's feels great. And I'm just going to play loose, hopefully, from here on out.
Now that you're at 30 minutes nightly, how much more free does that make you feel out there where you know you're going to get basically kind of like a full rotation?
It's easier to get into a better rhythm, and I'm in better shape than I was a few weeks ago. Then on top of that, it's just I'm just grateful to play that many minutes. That's some real good minutes right there.
30 points for the first time since you come back. Does that mean anything?
Oh, yeah. What? After not feeling that feeling for a few years? Yeah. Do not take a 30 ball lightly in this league.
Does it mean something special to do it before this crowd against that team?
It meant something special to do in front of my dad. I don't think he's seen me play in a few years, so I know he's proud of me, and that's always fun. Our crowd, too. Our crowd was great out there.
Klay, looked like you got revved up when you made the lefty layup, got the and one after not maybe getting one a couple of minutes before that. Was that particularly a satisfying play for you?
Oh, yeah, especially after you get your shot pinned against the backboard. It feels good to, you know, let the defense know that that's not going to deter me, and that felt great.
You had a couple nice hookups feeding Kuminga early. What's the connection there, and what are you guys seeing from this 19-year-old right now?
I can't take credit for those hookups because I had zero assists. But other than that, John, is it? I mean, isn't that crazy? He's not going to be in the Rising Stars game. He just guarded LeBron James for however many minutes, gave us 18 on 11 shots and almost a double-double. Like, how many more 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds are doing that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a miss. That's going to wind up being a whiff for the NBA, the fact that Jonathan Kuminga is not in the Rising Stars game. Klay Thompson hitting on that. It's been talked about the last. It's funny. They picked that team, I thought. They picked it a little early, and Kuminga's been awesome basically since these last six games, really, since they snubbed him. Because I think at that point, you know, going back a couple of weeks, I think you could actually have made the case, well, he didn't really play, he wasn't playing a lot, you know, and he was kind of up and down. But since then, he's been tremendous. And look, the NBA should have had some foresight. I'm going to be clear here. They should have had the foresight to understand how electrifying he is as a young player, and they should have put him in the game just on that. But now it looks really bad because he has played so well over these last six games collectively, and he 100% deserves to be there. So good stuff there from Klay Thompson. Couple of text messages to clean up before we get out of here. Comcast Business text line. Ask the question, do you want the Warriors? 831, I would rather play the Warriors than anyone else. Bring them on. I think the Lakers have everything, gave everything they have. Westbrook will show up in the playoffs. I'd love to smack him around. 415, it felt like an NBA Finals type atmosphere and energy tonight. It definitely did. And one text message, 240, a couple of people all over my case. JD, how can you quickly give up on the young Wiseman for coming? I'm not giving up on Wiseman. I feel like I have to say this every single time, and I try to do it most of the time. It's a two-pronged conversation with Wiseman. I don't think he's going to be able to make a big impact for this team this season. That's not giving up on him. That's not an indictment of his career. And Kuminga at this point is ahead of him. And I know, as 510 pointed out, they're two totally different players. Wiseman and Kuminga, two totally different players. Wiseman will never play like Kuminga. That's not a bad thing. Wiseman is way smoother around the rim. Wiseman is a much better rim protector. To me, they complement each other. Well, Wiseman hasn't been a rim protector at this point. In fact, his defense has been rough. You hope, with his athleticism and his body type, that he becomes a rim protector. And no, Kuminga is not a rim protector. I understand that. The point that I was making as far as those two is Kuminga can get downhill close to the basket and finish. He is able, at least lately, to be able to score without any plays really being run for him, let's say. Yeah, you're running some pick and roll, and the defense is creating openings, and they've simplified it. It's not Kuminga out at the wing, you know, putting it on the deck, trying to hit a three. Like, he's made some three, but like Kuminga, and that's the point I'm getting at. Kuminga playing a very simplified, around the basket kind of a game. He's able to guard multiple positions, much better defender at this stage than Wiseman is, for sure, and more versatile defender than Wiseman is at this stage. But the point I'm getting at is Kuminga offensively can play and fit his game into the box that this Warriors team needs him to play at in order to be on the floor in big moments. You can play Kuminga and Draymond and Wiggins and Clay and Steph down the stretch in a game the way this thing is trending right now. You're not going to see that with Wiseman in a playoff game this year with all of the whole season on the line. You're just not. And I wouldn't have believed that we were going to see that from Kuminga a month ago. But he's played so well, in particular over these last five, six games, to where he's earning the opportunity. Everybody can recognize it. Steve Kerr alluded to it as well. So we'll call it a night on that note. Great stuff. Appreciate the participation via the text line, Comcast Business text line. Also, good phone calls tonight as well. So that'll do it. Warriors get the win for Everybody in our San Francisco studios, including Sterling Bennett. I'm John Dickinson. Keep it locked here throughout the day tomorrow and on into the week as we'll have you covered everything Warriors. Warriors next game Monday in L.A. They take on the Clippers, 6 o'clock for Warriors Live in that one. So for Sterling, I'm John Dickinson. We'll talk to you again here soon. Warriors win at 117-115, and you heard it right here at 95.7 The Game. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.